Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have an incredible show for you today. We're going to introduce you to some new guests. We're going to learn, we're going to laugh, we're going to share this information. So if you have any entrepreneurs in your network, if you have someone who maybe they're starting their business, and they, you know, maybe they have some questions, you definitely want to share this show with them so they can learn. So make that tweet, send that post, send that text, send out that email, but let everyone in your network know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, Mr. James Popovic, commonly known as Jim. Now, Jim is an author, he's a mentor, he's a friend. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I asked the question in a certain way that I'm too young for Medicare and too old for the women to care.
Never heard. Start out with a little bit of humor.
Is this just the brief introduction, or do you want me to go a little further for what I'll introduce?
Just give us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Right. Jim Popovic, of course. I have had two careers, 45 years in the public sector. I am retired military. I go back to Vietnam. And I also finished up with 25 years at the North Carolina Governor's Crime Commission, where I helped with granting at the lower, at the municipal level of government. This book, which you see there, has given me a chance to redirect my life and answer some fundamental questions, because life is good. And anyone can pursue it, especially early as possible. I am glad to see that I'm probably the oldest one here, and I hope that I will be able to share some experiences and wisdom. I believe that obstacles are not in the way, they are the way.
I love that. So many questions for you, Jim, but we're going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Coach Vikram. He has been unemployable since birth. Vikram has never stopped. Resilience should be his middle name. He is a vulnerable man who embraces all his journeys through. He is a victor and won't stop. Let's go, Vikram. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. What is up today?
I love your energy.
Why not have energy, right? Choice. Yeah, I am a serial entrepreneur, as they would call them. I've lived in the back of my businesses before. I've lived in my friends' bedrooms. I've actually lived in a client's house and had to wash my own laundry at one point in the shower because I couldn't afford to market and build the business and also have a place to live that I wanted to live in. And so when you go through challenges in life, you learn that you are stronger than what you think you are. And I'm a firm believer that we all have unlimited potential. It's just we limit it with our mindset. So I've used my years of experience and years of sales and years of entrepreneurship to now become a coach to help people with their businesses so that they can have the resilience and they can have the lifestyles that they deserve and that they want to earn.
Wow. So many questions for you. So many questions. But we're going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the lovely Miss Shirley Hart. Now, Shirley is an event experience manager, a writer, podcaster, and creator of Grant a Wish with Heart Roar. Good morning, Shirley. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. My name is Shirley, and I'm a millennial living in a new city away from home. And I am the podcast host of A Lifetime Show with Shirley. I am also a communications director at the tech company. And my podcast is all about, and business that I have is all about creating experience for people. I feel like in our lifetime, we have to be authentic. We have to create memories. We have to connect with people. And that's all I'm about. That's all my brand is all about. I try my possible best to create events that people would always remember. I create events, I connect people. I try my best to bring out the best version of people and hear their stories. I feel people shouldn't filter their stories. Our stories are our strengths. Our scars should be celebrated and not to be hidden. And that's all I do for my business to my podcast. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. I love your accent. Where are you located?
In Abuja, Nigeria.
You're calling in all the way from Nigeria?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I love it. I love it when I have guests all over the world. It makes me conversation. No, I'll come back to you, but I want to go over to Jim for a moment. When you heard Coach Vikram speak and he share his story, what were your thoughts?
This is actually a segue into something that I might do that never has been done before, is that your guests here naturally are trying to carve the best path forward out of their lives by being a coach, by being involved, doing podcasts and so forth. So I would like to broach the topic to you. And if you wish to pursue it, I of course can. The process through life is just a matter of discipline, and it's a matter of putting things on a schedule, and it's easily doable. I could go on in detail, but I want to begin with a question, and then hopefully you'll want to pursue it, because I've done a lot of thinking and doing as to the answer. So here goes. How do you die well? Let's leave it at that and let's promote some conversation. I hope you do, because the answer is revealing.
Coach Vikram, how do you die well?
Well, because I've actually buried myself in the ground a couple of times, the way that I feel you die well is you think about death, right? You think about what your life would mean to you and what your life means to you, and you actually think about death. Like in Stoic philosophies, you think about, they talk about death. And death isn't something that you should be afraid of. Death is something that you should be excited for, because if you live every moment present and every moment in the best form possible, you can see my shirt says me versus me, you realize that the only challenge you have in life is yourself. And so you shouldn't fear death. You should actually embrace death, because live a present life, live a present moment, and then you don't have FOMO about death. And so for me, it's like Jim said earlier, it's about creating that schedule, creating that, you know, that perfect day, right? If every day's as perfect as you can be, then when you're at home, you can be present with the people you want to be with. When you're at a party, you can be present with those people. And so you got to learn to be present, but you just got to think about it. Like, if I were to die today, what would my life be like? And when you go to a retirement home and you talk to the people in there, they don't talk about their wins. They talk about the things they didn't do. So just do those things now and get over the fear.
Excellent. Shirley, what's your response to the question? How do you die well?
Honestly, I don't know. And I'm not even going to claim, that I do know that answer, but I'm very curious to get that answer, because I'm really thinking, so I don't have an answer right now. I really don't have an answer right now.
Shirley tapped out. Shirley said she doesn't have an answer. For me, if I were to answer that question, dying well to me would be about legacy, about what I leave behind, what I leave to my children, and the memories that I've created along the way for other people. That would be my answer, but I'm pretty sure Jim has a different take on it. Jim, how do you die well?
First of all, I really appreciate this format and getting to hear from you, and you are on track. The question, how do you die well, is you learn to live well. Then the next question is, how do you live a life of meaning? It's So there's, you know, a lot of facts along the way. And one, learning to live well allows you to pursue what it is to live with virtue, what it is to live with character, and how to thrive. Okay. When you study, and the wonderful thing about this is you keep having different epiphanies, different answers to this as you grow. And when I say as you grow, you can grow in your physical presence, but also your mental presence. Believe it or not, you can grow your brain in the direction of being good. And now the scientific proof is there that the ancients knew 2,500 years ago, and it's called synaptic pruning. If you strive to be good, do good for the common good, your brain actually clips off synaptic connections in the direction that strengthen your being good. The corollary is if you want to be wicked, it'll help you too. But so how do you put that into progress? And I'll just hit on these things and we can pursue them as you wish. The first thing is to understand what the cardinal virtues are. Understand them so then you can ask the basic question. Anything you do, by the way, you can do the who, what, when, where, why. That's good for analysis, but you have to take a step forward. Nothing happens unless something moves. Thank you, Albert, as in Einstein. So the cardinal virtues, there are just four. Justice, wisdom, temperance, and courage. Character, two elements, that's all. Humility and introspection. And learning to thrive is taking care of the temple, body, mind, and spirit. And I'll leave it at that because I'm interested in your questions, especially how one is to put that together. There you have just a brief introduction. And then there happens to be a book where you will get a full explanation of it. Thank you very much. So
principles and practices to live and lead well. So surely Mr. Jim gave us his answers to the question. What were your thoughts? Okay, well, I think Shirley's over here thinking. So we're going to go over to Coach Vikram. What were your thoughts to what Jim had to say?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, if you want to die well, you got to live well. And I agree 100% with that. And I think what happens in life is most people don't live well. We're actually programmed. Most people don't realize this, but we're programmed by other people. We're programmed by our parents. We're programmed by our grandparents. We're programmed by our environment. We're programmed by the neighborhood we live in, by all these different things. We actually are generationally programmed too. And so we bring in the thoughts of people from the past. And as much as we love those people, there's a story that I heard at a conference, and it was about a mom who was cooking in two baking pans. And the daughter one day said, "Hey mom, why do you use two baking pans?" The mom said, "Well, because that's how grandma does it. Go ask grandma." So she, you know, next time they see grandma, the little girl remembers, grandma, why does mom cook in two baking pans?" She said, "Well, that's easy, honey. Back in the day, we had really small ovens. We had to put two baking pans to feed everybody." And so we do things that are based off of other people's perceptions and other people's thoughts, and we just take that as our reality. And so most of us aren't actually living our own soul's purpose, our own spiritual journey. We're living the journey that other people want. I'm an Indian man, and in my culture, there's certain things that our parents expect out of us. And, you know, is go to school, get an education. They knew I was never going to get a job, but they still try to force a job on me. Even though they knew that I hated working for other people, they still said, "Oh, that's what you do." I got a job. I didn't succeed at it, but everything that I've ever done on my own, even if it's been a failure, it's been a success because I learned. So I learned that I'm not going to work for somebody else. And, you know, then it was like, all right, it's time to get married. So I went out, my mom put me on a website. I got married and I was doing everything for them. And it didn't dawn on me until like I was 35 and I was getting arrested that I wasn't living my own authentic life. And I was like, what's going on here? I was drinking a lot and I wasn't, you know, as Jim says, I wasn't living well. And I knew at some point I wasn't going to die well because I was going to live a life of regret. And so at 35, I had to have a realization where things changed. And at that point is when I started to actually live my own self. And I shut down my business. It was a real estate company. We were doing exceptionally well. And I shut it down. Everybody's like, "Are you crazy? why would you shut that down? You worked so hard to build it. I said, if I built one, I can build it again, but I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do something just because I'm making money. If it's not bringing me joy in life, it's not bringing me happiness in life, why do it? And so you guys can see the bikes behind me. That's a reminder every day. Live a life well, which means you got to move your body. You got to move your mind. You got to move the energy in and out of your body, right? You got to be spiritual. You got to have a meditation practice, right? There's certain things that we have to do to change our lives, but there's also certain things that we have to do to end the generational traumas that we have, the generational teachings that no longer serve us. You know, the things that our grandparents have, those traditions, some of them might serve you, but they also have generational trauma from their grandparents and their grandparents. And so if you don't break through those, you live a life that's actually not what you really want. They're not your thoughts. They were implanted by somebody else. And so with that, I'm going to send it back to you guys and see what your thoughts are.
Jim, what are your thoughts on what Coach Vikram had to say?
Well, the first thing is, I would dearly love to have a glass of wine with you, good sir. Fascinating. You are a fascinating young man. back to the theme over there, you touched on quite a few things, Vikram. I hope I'm saying that right. This stuff is a bit daunting to start, and therefore, if you just start, you'll find your way forward. But you need to break things down into something, a simple definition of it, so you can pursue it. So you take the first part over there. You need to live with virtue right away. Oh, geez, oh, Pete, I got to go out and buy a toga and wander around the street. It is not like that. You take the first one, justice. You need to define these in everyday terms so it makes sense, so that you can practice it all day long. So justice simply means doing the right thing in the middle of the night when no one is looking. And you can practice that almost moment to moment as you go through your day. Next is wisdom. Some put this as the primary virtue. I think justice should be first because you have to know what the truth is. But wisdom is learning to love learning. And the first question you want to answer about that is what does justice mean? And you find out the nuances of it by reading every day. There is no excuse not to read when you can get paper books, electronic books. You can get them read to you in all sorts of formats. I personally like to get paper books because I go back and forth and I like to take notes. And then secondly, after wisdom would be temperance, right? That's simply knowing how much is enough. And the answer to that is not much. Not much at all. You know, this pursuit of the bigger house that never ends, bigger car, several wives, right? and so forth. That is freeing to realize that it doesn't take much to put a roof over your head. So you're warm when it's cold, cold when it's hot, you're well fed, et cetera, et cetera. And then lastly, courage. Now, courage ultimately means going out and facing bullets. I do know a little bit about that. I have a little experience in Vietnam, so I have think about that a lot. But courage really means getting up in the morning, having the confidence that things will go wrong. and then by taking these challenges nearly on a daily basis, you know you can answer them. That is courage. It doesn't mean facing bullets. It means getting up with enthusiasm in the morning and say, come on, I can do it, and do it. Okay, and then you put those together. I'll leave it at that because then I can talk about character and so forth. A couple of things. Again, you see what's happening here. You break it down into the simplest terms possible. Things need to be simple, but not simpler. Thank you again, Einstein. E equals MC squared, and he changed the world. You can't make that simpler. It's the essence of how to describe the universe. So I'll send it back to you guys for a couple of comments on that. Virtue is everyday stuff.
Absolutely. So we're going to ask Miss Shirley, what are your thoughts on living well? Shirley, are you with us? These are the problems we go through sometimes when we're calling in from all over the world. Shirley, are you able to hear me? I can see you now, Shirley. You're moving around. Are you able to hear us?
Okay. About that, my network just tripped off.
It's okay. Are you with us now?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Not really.
Okay. So we have Shirley over here with some technical difficulties. We'll see if we can get Shirley back into the conversation. So I'm going to go back over to Jim, even though Jim threw it to me in the newsroom. I'm going to throw it back to Jim because I would like to know, what is a new wave leader?
A new wave leader understands that the old way of leading top down is out the window. In fact, I have a little chart that talks about this, and I do recommend reading the book on leadership by General Stanley McChrystal. If anybody knows leadership, he does. First, you have to understand what the myths of leadership are. Well, let me back up. The book poses a question and answers the question, recognizing we are all leaders, even if you just have a significant other. Certainly, if you start a family, you are a leader. Make no mistake. So we need to get that right. Okay, with that basis, the myth about it is that leadership is formulaic. You know, you do this, you do that, you're a leader. No, you're not. I'll go to develop that point about the formula for leadership, which is out the window. The reality is context matters, which often is complicated, dynamic, fluid, and unpredictable. The new wave leader then, talking about the formula, perceive the meaning of the moment and act accordingly. And again, we get back to the Stoics, sight and perception. Sight is weak, perception is strong. What we see only hints at the meaning of what is happening to us and around us. Meaning matters. Then the next myth is attribution or an appointment. This, it's not just an attribution, like I've been born into a position. That's really gone out of the window. Because the system matters. The organization is a system of people collaborating towards a common good. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Inspired followership matters. Again, I'm skimming over the top. And so the new wave sees the leadership as a path, a journey, a process. The path is primary because it leads to meaningful goals. The last myth is that results matter. Oh, geez, son of a gun. You know, we got to have, the sales matter, the revenue matters, recruiting rent, you know, all that. No, what matters is with a leader going forward is symbolism matters. Meaning, purpose, and symbolism of virtues and values energize the action to this common goal. So goals are achieved by collaboration between matrices of partners and coworkers focused on a motivating vision led by an inspiring person. So this new wave understands meaning, they understand the journey, and they understand true collaboration. A quick point on that. Cooperation gets you to the end of the day. Hot dog, it's 5 o'clock. I hate my boss. I hate my job. When's retirement? And then collaboration, done correctly, puts everybody on a vision that is bigger than any one individual, and it's wonderful. So that's skimming leadership over the top.
Okay, and we're going to get Coach Vikram's take on leadership and new wave leaders.
Yeah, I agree. Leadership is not because of your position. Leadership is because of what you do. And leaders are, the old school leader is, it's dead. Nobody wants to work at that company. And the new generation, they are very focused on quality of life. They're very focused on living life differently than what parents did. New age, you know, the younger generation, they don't necessarily want to open businesses and be number one. They love being number two. They don't mind it. It's not an ego thing, because they want a different quality of life, but they want to follow somebody who has the vision, somebody who is doing good for the community, somebody who's doing good for the world. And in my household, right, I can just give you some examples of how we grew up. My dad is the ultimate authority. You know, he uses the word respect. I use the word love. And he says, you need to respect me and it's my house. And I said, well, you need to love us because we are your children. And it's very it was very combative growing up because he wanted a certain form of respect and we wanted a certain form of love. And leadership starts at home, right? If you can't lead your family, you're going to have a hard time leading other people. And so when you start to become a leader and you start to think about a leader, it's about EQ, right? EQ outweighs IQ when it comes to making money, when it comes to getting people to follow you. People will like you because you're smart. Oh, that's a really smart person, but I don't want to work with them or for them. But if you have great EQ, people will follow you into a war. I think of the movie Braveheart when William Wallace goes into war and he says, you know, his speech and everybody follows him knowing that they're going to potentially die going against a much larger army, but because they're passionate, they win. And that's what true leadership is that you can get people to follow you into war. You can get people to follow you into the unknown. You can get people to follow you at times when you say, hey, we're going to have a tough time making payroll, but I know my vision is there and I know this is going to succeed. I know this is going to change the world. I know it's going to change people's lives. And when you have that, you get collaboration. But if you don't have EQ and you're all IQ, you're muscling your way through life. And that's not the way people follow you. They'll work for you because they need money, but they won't follow you because of the passion inside of them.
That's very interesting. It's quite a few points. Now, I have some other questions, but we are going to stop for a brief commercial break, and we'll be right back.
You need JordansRooter.com. Get free estimates, 24-hour service, special discounts for seniors and veterans. That's JordansRooter.com. Have a home repair or some remodeling you need done? No problem. We can handle all that too. Give us a call today at 800-300-0358. At Jordans Rooter, we take pride in our work and always make sure to get the job done right the first time. That's JordansRooter.com. We want to be your Mr. Fix-It.
I've had this problem.
Big problem.
I really, really needed
a good business consultant.
And I kept searching and searching.
Ugh, there are so many choices.
It's really hard to find one that has all the things on my list. But I finally did it.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
If you were looking for one as well,
look no further.
Here's a really good one.
Just use mine.
Use mine.
I'm very satisfied.
Definitely recommend. Problem gone.
Thank you.
If you are just now tuning in to the Roundtable Talk Show, we are having an incredible conversation. The viewers are enjoying the conversation. We have one person who says, I'm loving this topic. I talk about this with my family and friends all the time. So if you have missed any part of the conversation, please start from the beginning in the archives. But I'm going to go back over to Coach Vikram, because one of the things that stood out to me is something that I say often is something that other people go, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And I will tell people I am unemployable. And people are like, everybody can get a job. I'm like, no, it's a state of mind. I am unemployable. Because I go in and I'm like, they're like, you got to do this. I don't want to do that right now. I don't want to, you know, so there's no way I can work for anyone else. Talk a little bit about your realization of knowing that you were unemployable.
I remember when I was a little kid, my dad's a doctor, and I'd go into his office and I would tell the nurses, because they try to stick me with shots or take my blood, whatever you needed to do, right? And I would tell the nurse, if you stick me with that needle, I'm going to tell my dad and you're going to get fired. And she goes, that's fine. I don't mind. I'd rather be at home anyways than chasing you little snots around the office and having you scream. And I said, I'm gonna fire you. And I was just always this rambunctious kid. And I didn't mean it like, you know, I didn't understand what firing meant at the time, because I actually hate firing people. But when I was, you know, 15, my parents had a restaurant, 14 years old, they had a pizza place, and I worked for them. And I just remembered my hands always stunk. I always, you know, cleaning toilets, and I was delivering pizzas at 14, you know, semi-illegally, because I knew how to drive. And, you know, that's just what you do. You fill in wherever you need to fill in. And I thought this was cool. But I remember when I was 17, I got a letter from Cutco to sell knives, Vector Marketing. And they were offering $14.75 per qualified appointment. I didn't know what a qualified appointment was, but I just knew that that was more than I was making at the pizza place. And I came home after the interview where the manager and I hit it off. You know, we were totally cool. His girlfriend at the time, who was super hot, who I had a crush on, I think everybody in the office did, she drove us home because my brother and I were walking because we didn't have a car. So we were walking home. And she's, you know, picked us up and she drove us 10 miles down the road so that we could get home in this 102 degree heat in Bakersfield. And I come home and I'm like, hey, Dad, I got this opportunity to sell knives. He's like, selling knives? That's stupid. I'm like, whatever. You say everything's stupid. And so at that point, I said, I need a raise of 50 cents. 50 cents. Like, it doesn't matter if the business is making money or not. None of your other kids are work. Like, they would go sit at the bar and hang out and talk, and I would work my ass off, butt off. And I said, I want a 50 cent raise. And he said, no. I said, well, then I quit. He says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go sell knives for the summer. He's like, nobody's going to buy these knives off of you. I'm like, well, I'm going to try. And I realized at that point that nobody, even your family, will give you a raise. Right? Gary Vaynerchuk talks about how he worked for his family business for years. He built it from, you know, $3 million to like $50 million, and he still made a crappy wage. But his dad was living a great life. And I was thinking about, I didn't know, obviously, Gary Vee wasn't around at that time. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you're not going to give your own kid a 50 cent raise. Then why shouldn't I try to go do something else? And at that point is when I kind of realized, okay, I gotta make my own money. Because the family business isn't going to give me a lifestyle that I want. I could work 100 hours a week and barely make any money. Whereas this other position, I could do 100 hours a week. And if I make a couple of sales, I'm going to make 3X more, 4X more. And it was, you know, it was kind of at that point when I realized, okay, I mean, I sold weed in high school. So when I was in high school, I sold weed. When I was a little kid in fourth grade, I raised more money for the jogathon than anybody had ever raised. So I knew I had this hustle inside of me, but I never really tapped into it. I was just having fun at the pizza place. We got free food. It was high school. I was making a lot of money on the side selling weed. And I've always had that just street hustle. We would go and, you know, on the days we weren't working at the restaurant, we'd go and we'd wash cars in the neighborhood. We'd plant plants in our neighbors' houses. We would do gardening for my mom, right? We're always trying to keep ourselves busy to make money because, you know, I had a very expensive partying habit at a young age. And so I needed to, you know, fund my lifestyle because my parents weren't giving us money. You know, my dad gave me $2 a day for a $2.50 lunch. And I said, Dad, how does that make sense? He's like, figure it out. I said, okay, I will. And so he kind of pushed me to go out and figuring out how to be an entrepreneur at a young age. And I saw him do it. And we come from a line of entrepreneurs. My grandparents, a lot of people in our family are entrepreneurs. And so it was just kind of something I was around. It was my environment, but it was also something that was internally inside of me that I knew that working for somebody else wasn't going to bring me joy. And I probably have had 3 jobs in my whole life. I think I was a valet driver. I worked in a commercial leasing company. I sold cars and then I worked for my parents. So I've had 4 jobs. One was a family job and I didn't really do well at any of them. I never enjoyed any of them. And I said, you know what? I'd rather be poor doing my own thing, working for myself, making my own dreams a reality potentially and learning, right? If you fail and you learn, you actually didn't fail, you won. It's only if you fail and you don't learn anything that you lose. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to try my own thing and I'm going to live this life and I'm going to be who it is. And in 2009, when I tried to get a job, the companies that I was trying to get a job for, I had an MBA, I had worked on my own businesses my whole life. You know, one of the guys said, we hired somebody else. And I said, how? And he said, off the record, he says, you're too independent for our company. At that point, I was like, you know what? You're right. And I went back to selling knives at 27 with an MBA, made 6 figures that year. And I said, I'll never get a job again.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Jim, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what Coach Vikram said, not only about selling knives and being unemployable, but also when he discussed EQ. What are your thoughts, Jim?
First of all, again, I am really intrigued. I'm with a couple of really, really fascinating people. We three need a glass of wine together.
I'll take you up on that.
Some things, you know, they come to mind, and I wish we had time after I'm about to be 73 here in a few days, but I'd like to say that I have a lot of war stories, some of which are true. But anyway, as far as the war stories, I doubt that you have ever had a guest that can blast a stump and milk a cow. You're talking to them. But that's a long time ago.
You're funny, Jim.
You got to laugh, people. You got to laugh. So I'd like to pick up a thread that actually started a couple of segments ago. And I think it was you, Vikram, that said that we need to live so we can live a legacy. You know, that is an amazingly perceptive observation. And it plots a course of action. So first of all, you know, you got to decide a legacy. Do you want to leave a multi-million dollar company, but then you've also leave a tragic trail of broken lives and deceit and so forth, getting to the top? Is that legacy? The wrong one. So, but legacy, even down to people, you know, a person who does a regular job and has a family. What matters is starting to do the things to earn the respect of respectable people. Some people aren't worth, you know, their association and so forth. So then break that down. Getting the respect of respectable people means that you live well, as I started to discuss. You do a lot of reading. You find out what the journey is and put yourself on that journey. And then what happens along the way when you're being good, doing good for the general good, a lot of things happen that make a life worthwhile, and that life worthwhile is your legacy. I'll get to some more specifics. For me, what that means is later on over here that and a tongue in cheek, and I don't mean to besmirch anybody. You know, it's, a lot of people just put bumpers on Fords for a living. Noble work. We need it. But, you know, you pass on and what do you got? But because of my particular path and so forth, you're looking at a bit of legacy, this book over here, because I will leave a small bookshelf of books, maybe six to nine titles for my daughter. And why do this? There's, as you know, in the publishing business, there's very little money in it. But when my daughter and hopefully grandchildren read those books, they'll not only find out how I did things, but find out where their history lies and the responsibility they have to it. More, dig a little deeper in why I publish over here. I've published the first book in a series of four books on doing granting. Now, I spent 25 years as a policy analyst for the North Carolina Governor's Crime Commission. I know a little bit about grants. So these books will instruct my daughter to do granting. Why? Because believe it or not, I'm a philanthropist. You can be a philanthropist, Sharifa. You can be a philanthropist, Vikram. I'm sorry, I'm slaughtering your name. And you can start it for just a few $1,000s. But with the dollar down, dollar a week, you can build that through a lifetime to be a lovely six figures. Then you can do some good. But these books will describe what's called capacity building. That is building permanent answers to permanent problems. Now that's the way to exercise the responsibility to the greater whole. And who knows where they'll go? Because if a local community does one project on capacity building, there will be a ton of ideas that they can build on that. And it's also a very efficient way to do things. You know, go on and on. I've had two careers. I have made it a point to, in a lumpy, bumpy life, I'm here to tell you, I did not get this far unscathed, ladies and gentlemen. I've done some things. Do I have a minute more? Just very quickly. When I graduated from high school, I was told in a very nice way that I was too stupid for college. And the way that the counselor said, Jim, you know, you kind of need to find a toolbox to make a living. Don't call us. We'll call you. First class I went to was a mechanics class for the Air Force. But the instructor said, you boys, and we're all boys, just finished the equivalent of 12 hours of college. And I did well. And I nearly jumped out of my skin. I was on fire. So now the person talking to you sits before you, a published author with a doctorate for a guy that needed a toolbox. That's legacy.
Wow. So,
I could on with that particular theme, but I try to turn it back to you for some more comments. Legacy is a big deal, and it's accomplishable by anybody. By anybody, if you just start out to know what it is to be good, do good for the common good.
I love it. Happy early birthday to you, Jim.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm day before Christmas, right. Here's a pair of socks. Happy Christmas.
Vikram, talk to us a little bit about what Jim had to say.
Well, first off, thank you for your service, Jim. It's
an honor. Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Now, I want to make a point about this. Moving in the direction of your dreams to meet with the uncommon in common hours. That's Thoreau. So I joined the military, was accepted for a commissioning program. I was enlisted, but I finished up as an 04 major. By the way, I retired at age 38. There's a reason that I want to live to my 90s so I can collect that check. But anyway, a couple of things. It allowed me to do many things along the way. One of those things, I'll mention two things. I found myself as the area director of recruiting in Arizona and New Mexico, and I found out that I could start junior ROTC units in high schools. I was first told, no, you can't do that. You're in a land of gold water. He's got all his quotas, but I pursued it. I learned very quickly, you don't take no for the first answer. You know this, Vagram. Mm-hmm. So I managed to start two units back in the early 80s. Those units are still there. If you don't know, the purpose of junior ROTC is to teach citizenship. And it's usually attended by youngsters in some difficult situations, lower socioeconomic and so forth. Can you imagine, because that instructor told a young lad that he was capable of college, that I would be in a position to do that. And over the years, the thousands of students who got lessons in citizenship, the hundreds and hundreds more who went on to further education, two-year or four-year degree, and a double handful of youngsters that got appointments to the United States Air Force Academy. So that came along as and meaning doing something uncommon in common hours. Another thing too, by serving, this gets me here, is my final wish is, and again, after trying to live a life worthwhile, I will be buried in Arlington. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the unspeakable honor? And now my daughter is coming into the medical corps for the United States Air Force Reserve. And guess who is going to have her in front of a flag and say, raise your right hand and repeat after me, promise to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Can you imagine the unspeakable honor, the uncommon in common hours? Talking around legacy and so forth, but just a couple of comments. Why this journey is not only important, it is vital.
Wow, Jim, you brought up the emotion in me. I felt that emotion. I'm going to stand up and salute the flag myself. And usually people don't interrupt. I usually do a lot more refereeing, but just what you had to say, I'm sure Vikram can respect it. It was amazing. So we're going to go over to Vikram for a moment. What were your thoughts? Because I felt that.
Yeah, no, you're a passionate man. You're funny too. I like it. I'm glad you're too young for Medicare and you're too old for women to care, because
well, I just lied to you twice, but it's anyway, it's a fun joke.
Oh, you know, we'll let it slide. You know, you're older. Sometimes we forget things as we get older.
Right? Yeah, no idea. There's stickies all over my house. Go ahead.
I'm about to lose a picture that's about to fall right now. Let me just get this before it makes a big thumb. You know, I'm 39 years young, and when I think about legacy, I had to do some deep thinking, right? When you go through your 30s and you wake up one day and you check yourself out of jail, and I didn't have prison sentence, but I definitely spent some nights and there's nobody around and you're by yourself and you think, wow, is this the life that I want to live? Is this a legacy? Is this who I want to be remembered as? A guy that had it all, came from a good family, came from a good upbringing, and ruined it because he couldn't control himself. And it was at that point that I had to start doing some serious thinking, right? You went through a divorce, you're choosing the wrong people to be around, you're choosing the wrong partners, right? Napoleon Hill talks about in Think and Grow Rich, your very first partner is your spouse, your significant other. And I had to do a lot of deep thinking. And, you know, when you're locked up for a few days, you get that opportunity. And a lot of people say, oh my God, that must've been the worst thing in your life. And I said, no, it was the best thing in my life. In fact, I owe that judge a real nice dinner, because had that judge not made me stop and think, I would have never, I don't know what life would have been like. I don't know. The trajectory I was on was all about making money. And like you said earlier, you have a legacy that you want to build, and your legacy can be, you know, running over people just to make the buck and have the cars and have the houses, or it can be the person that wants to build others up, because you can either, you know, to rise yourself, you can either burn all the buildings or you can rise the tide so that everybody gets better. And I want to be the person that's remembered as the person that raises the tide and that had some hardships, but those hardships didn't break me, they built me. And anybody who says anything else about hardships, I know people that have been in prison for years, they come out and they're totally different. It's just snapshots. We have all these snapshots in time, but we make the snapshot permanent. And if we learn that it's just a snapshot, right? One day you're this, but if you put in the action steps tomorrow, you can be something else, right? One day you're this, you put in the actions, you can be something else. You just have to ask yourself always, what's the most important thing? When I you know, it's like you were talking about earlier, it's the Stoic philosophies. What is the most important thing when I perish? What do I want to be remembered for? How do I want people to show up? Do I want to get to my deathbed and there's nobody there? Like when I checked myself out of prison, out of jail, like, is that what I want my life to be like? Or do I want my life to be surrounded with people that said, oh my God, because of you, we were able to do this and our families were able to do that. And without your influence or because of your influence, we changed our trajectory. And that to me is where legacy comes, is how do you impact a million people, 100 million people, a billion people because of what you are doing? And not everybody's going to like you along the way. And that's okay, right? When you get out of your mind that everybody's got to like me, your life shifts because now you start doing the work you need to do. But if you're worried about making everybody like you, you're going to live a life where you're trying to please everybody. And by pleasing everybody, you please nobody. And you don't actually leave a legacy. You leave a trail of just broken hearts along the way because you're not living your authentic self. I believe that our souls pick the human, and then that's to go through the experiences. And then it's up to the human, right? It's up to you and I to choose those experiences and to make what we need to learn as a soul. But our soul chooses everything because it knows that this is the path you need to go through in order to have a breakthrough so that you can come back, you know, reincarnated as, you know, a little bit higher, so that eventually the real goal in life for me is that I don't have to keep coming back to earth because I learned everything. And eventually there's going to be a point where I can just kick it in heaven with all the other people that have got to that level, and you don't have to keep coming back. But it's our soul's journey to find what our soul's purpose is. And with that, you got to face hardships. With that, you got to get up. With that, you got to You got to work on things. And most people, I think, are asleep. Most people don't want to wake up. Most people don't want to know the truth. The way that the media and the government are, they want to keep people asleep. They want to keep people controlled. And it's our job to fight through that, right? It's our job to overcome ourselves. It's our job to learn about self-mastery, learn about influence mastery, learn about business mastery, learn about finances, learn about health, because nobody's coming to our rescue.
That was deep. You said a lot there, Coach Vikram. Jim, nobody's coming to our rescue. That's what Vikram said. What are your thoughts?
You are very insightful about life, Vikram. But in talking about what you want to achieve, it gets back to the couple of topics that I mentioned. In the reading, you find out, it helps bring perspective to your day, find out that you have three things you have no control over: your money, your health, and your reputation. When that sinks in, those things have a different meaning. You don't have control over your life, but the ancients would say that does not mean that you shouldn't prepare for your later years. A quick digression over here is in your cohorts, both you, Shakira and Vikram, you should easily live, each one of you, if you don't go running with an ice pick, you should have the longevity that will put you at 100 years old. A child born in the early 2000s will on average live to 104 and still be vital and vigorous, especially with the RNA technology they have now. So let's carry this just a little bit further. Say we work very hard and we are in a position to retire when we're 60, right? Position to retire means is you don't have to work, you choose to work. That is freedom. So using the numbers that I gave you, you will have 40 years in quote unquote retirement. What will you do with that gift of time? If you study, you find out that there are five ways to use time. You know, you have maintenance, eating and sleeping, you have rest, relaxation, you have work for money, and lastly, you have legacy. Legacy is where you make a difference. Do you realize what kind of gifts we have now? In my lifetime, life expectancy went from about 48 years to 78 years. Phenomenal extension of life. So we need to ask, how will I make that impact? So speaking about those truths, you don't know control over your money, they would have you be very frugal with your money so you can retire. Now your health, just because you have no control over your health doesn't mean you should not work on it, because you will have longevity if you know, understand the difference between just being healthy, being active, being in shape, and then being conditioned. And you guessed it, you need to understand what conditioning is all about when you're taking care of the temple. And your reputation, that's why I said early on over here, you want to earn the respect of respectable people. But when you realize you ultimately have no control over it, it doesn't bug you when somebody calls you a schmuck, or in Vikram, your case in point, you know, when you get thrown in jail, you learn from that. You learn. So, somebody's got right. That's chiming in over there. You know, I could go on about any one of these particular topics. Just as a quick summation, when I was talking about the truths and so forth. This is how you put it together so that you live well to die well, yes, but then it's also about leaving a little something that contributes to the whole. And by golly, is that nice. And I just hinted at a couple of the wonderful things that happen when you do this. Not to say, hey, everybody's got their ups and downs. You know, the marketing this book gets to me. But then I realized that I can handle it. I can handle it. And you ought to see what I have planned for next year. Life is good.
I'm pretty sure life is good for you, Jim.
Yeah.
I can just sit, and not that we're going to do it and not that we have the time, but I know I could just sit and listen to your stories for hours and hours. You know, I love this hearing people and their experiences and learning and taking notes. I've gotten so much out of this show. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your experience here today. And we're going to start with you, Coach Victor.
Well, I first wanted to say it's been an honor to be on the panel with you, Sharif and Jim. I've truly enjoyed it. I got a whole whiteboard and a whole desk full of notes that I've been writing down and just listening and learning. You, Jim, remind me of my grandpa, which I appreciate. He's no longer with us, but I appreciate you and your stories. And what I want to tell people, you know, what I want to offer you to take home if you choose to, is that you have the responsibility to make sure that you're prepared for life. And as Jim said, you don't have control over your money, your health, and your reputation, but you do have control over the actions you take on a daily basis. And if you take control of those actions, you become responsible for everything in your life, then your money will probably be okay, your health will probably be okay, and your reputation will stay intact. It takes a lot more work to rebuild your reputation, your money, and your health once you lose it than it is to just maintain it. So by doing the things that you need on a daily basis, 15 minutes of workout a day will take you farther than trying to do 4 hours at one time a week. One page of reading. My goal isn't to read a book a day. It's if I read one page a night, I'm happy. It ends up being 5 or 10. But if I just set myself up for easy wins, one page, right? I don't say I'm going to go and do this 4 hour prospecting window. I just say I'm going to reach out to 5 new people, right? It's just setting yourself for easy success. And the same thing with your health. Little monumental, like little changes in many different areas of your life will change everything. Little changes in many areas of your business will change everything. You don't need to go out and try to make a 20% shift in one area. What you want to do is make a 1% shift in many areas, and you get exponential growth. And so my takeaway is don't try to go out and run a marathon. Just go run to the mailbox. Don't try to go out and make $1 million. Just go make your first 100. Don't try to go out and get 1,000 clients. Just go get one more than you already have. And if you do that, you'll see at the end of 365 days, everything in your life has shifted. You won't notice the shifts, but your friends will. And if you guys want to learn more about me and reach out, hit me up on Instagram, Coach Vikram Deol, or on Facebook.
Absolutely. I like it. It's those little small steps that we take that make the difference. Jim, what would you like the people to take away from your appearance here today?
Number one, living well is never too late. Never too late. And anybody can get on the path. And that living well is highly doable. It's a matter of developing some discipline. And as Vikram said, very important to do it a chunk at a time. You can put this into a process from early morning to late at night. And the things that you realize along the way multiply. Next is remember, obstacles are not in the way, they are the way, and you welcome them. Not to be foolhardy, but you welcome them because this is how we learn and grow. And you know, the last thing is life is good. And if you don't mind, I have put a lot of this stuff in Becoming a New Wave Leader. Notice that I put down their principles and practices to live. I put live first, then you can lead well. You can't lead without learning to live well. And even if you just focused on living well, that is a great pursuit in life. I wish we had time for some more stories and gestalt moments, et cetera, et cetera. But life is genuinely good. I wish I had. We need another show. Thank you. I have enjoyed your company immensely, and this has been a wonderful experience for me. So thank you all. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Get the book. If you get one idea out of the book and put it to work, the book will be priceless to you. And that is not my opinion. It's what the people are saying.
Absolutely. We'll do another show. You'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. But where can people pick up a copy of the book, Jim?
Oh, right. On my website, Affinitas Publishing. And then also it's on Amazon.
Okay.
So, and again, I encourage people to get the paper copy. I think it's a heck of a deal. But this is the kind of thing where you want to go back and forth and write in it. And a book as success is built on word of mouth. So tell a friend about this if you find something useful to it, and you will. So thank you. Amazon.
You are so welcome. I want to thank you both for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. It was definitely a pleasure, but I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching the show, tuning into the show, and sharing the show. But the most important thing to me is that you support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to support you, to share their stories with you, their expertise, their insight. So please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.